WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore positive. We are positively into another week of playoff football that we're not playing, but that doesn't mean we're not in the news. We'll be getting back out in the news doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play at some point once the snow stops and I get moved out to the county and, you know, we settle in on watching some divisional football, super divisional weekend or whatever they're going to call it. Luke Jones joins us now. He is, of course, all of his reports sponsored by our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. I had some delicious coffee. There is a ROFO. There's five ROFOs near where I live, just like where I live in the city now. So I have five different ROFOs, fried chicken. I got gas. I got snacks whenever I want them. Luke, we didn't play this weekend. It feels like everybody else played. Didn't feel like they were great games, right? But the biggest story of the week sort of happened maybe Wednesday, Thursday, when Joe Ortiz, who has been a part of the organization since 1998, almost as long as Eric DaCosta, back to when all those pictures were me and Phil Savage were also young, T.J. McCrate, the late, great Ron Marcinak, and many other scouts, Vince Newsom, who was still around as well. Joe Ortiz as Giants GM, I guess I erroneously put out something that was wishing him good luck that sounded like he got the gig, and I read it again, and I'm like, oh, I used to be a writer. That was a little ambiguous. but he did not get the gig yet, but he might have the gig by the time you hear this. But certainly for the Ravens, this is something that they don't deal with very often. And Coach Billick would always say to me, right around this week, I'm not going to let another coach come up here, another team come up, take a truck to the back of my organization to haul all my coaches and scouts out of here. And I know Ozzie felt that way. Eric felt that way. Joe was a part of this. George Koukinis and Phil Savage went and ran the Browns for 5 minutes. They've lost Andy Weidel and Joe Douglas over the course of times. And I know fans don't know all these names, right? But you and I do, and anybody, and John Harbaugh does, and Brian Billick does, and winning games comes down to Joe Ortiz being at some Ramada in, out in Broken Pelvis, Iowa, scouting some tight end or whatever, right?
Well, I think I disagree with you a little bit, and I think Joe Ortiz is a name that fans do know because he has been around so long, because he has been such a pivotal, integral part of what they've done with the draft. I mean, you're talking about someone who's their scouting director. I mean, his official title now, director of player personnel. So he's had, you know, these incremental promotions over the years and expanded responsibilities. But I think with the case of Joe Ortiz, you know, even if you're mildly interested in the draft, and I think that's a large percentage of fans at this point, whether you're a draft nut who's looking at tape and watching draft Twitter, which is a huge part of Twitter at this point, and lots of great
evaluators out there. Oh, I'm wearing my Coons Ford shirt, so that would be Dennis Colazzos.
I was going to say, our dear friend Dennis Colazzos, who is as into the draft as anyone, and I say that with full-blown affection saying that. So Joe Ortiz is very familiar to Ravens fans who take even a mild interest in the draft. And I think, you know, this is something that, well, you said it hasn't happened often. It has happened, though. And I think in the case of Joe Ortiz, who's been around as long as he has, I think there has been a sense, probably over the last 5 to 6 years, really, as we knew that the Ozzie Newsome era was winding down in terms of him being the general manager, knowing that Eric was going to take his place at some point in time.
Yeah, Joe hasn't spent 1 minute in this organization thinking he's going to run it, really, right? Like, when you really think about it, right?
Right. And that's, I mean, that's kind of the territory when you're the same, a similar age to Eric DaCosta. I mean, you know, they've been together, as you mentioned, that Joe Ortiz started in 98. I mean, Eric has a couple years on him, but, you know, they're very similar in age. Joe has been Eric's right-hand man in terms of thinking of all those years with the draft. And even now, I mean, Ozzie's still involved, of course. They have others very high up and prominent in that organization, that front office. But Joe's been an integral part of what they've done. And I think you look at it, you look at a team like the New York Giants, who have been an absolute disaster on the field for the last 5 years. You look at what they've done in the aggregate. I mean, you can make a very strong argument they've been the worst team in football over the last 3 or 4 years. They look at an organization like the Ravens and they say, hey, is there someone there that can be our next guy? And know, we've seen Joe Douglas go to the Jets, and I think the jury's still out on, you know, whether he's going to be successful there. But I think it's no secret. The Ravens have been a well-run organization. And to your point, even guys who have gotten a chance to run the show elsewhere and it didn't work out for whatever reason, they're clearly an organization that teams target their guys, you know, whether you're talking about front office or whether you've talked about coaches over the years. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But he did have a video conference over the weekend, you know, so he wasn't meeting with the Giants brass, you know, ownership in person, but did talk to them on Saturday. And, you know, we'll see how this plays out. You know, the sense that you get from various Giants reporters, and we saw, you know, I think I saw the first one on Friday and, you know, saw it on Saturday and Sunday. You got the sense that he's someone that is very much a person of interest, not just a token interview or anything like that.
Well, he never took token interviews. Eric didn't do a whole lot of that either.
No.
Because it wasn't good policy for him or them or for Steve or for the organization or to be in the headlines interviewing in other places. That's been one of the really, I mean, God, I remember the day I met you, Ortiz. You know what I mean? Like, I remember Phil and Eric showing me a guy that looked even younger than them. And we were all young looking. And I remember meeting Phil Savage, and I'm like, man, scouts are young these days. Then he's like, I got this guy, Eric DaCosta. We're going to meet Eric. And, you know, Eric has the funny accent and his Portuguese New England thing. And we're all 20 something. And I think I was making more money than them then, believe it or not. It's kind of strange. And they've surpassed me. Ortiz, especially Eric. But Ortiz, he is, when you say people know who he is, I don't dispute that. I mean, I know that. I don't think they understand the value of what these guys do. And that's always been my role. From 1996, from the time I met Phil Savage out at the Mangione's Hotel back in 1996, before they had a logo, before they drafted John Ogden and Ray Lewis that day, they've always, it really is amazing. 26 years later, the same guys are there. Like, that's just unprecedented, unheard of, whatever. But the fact that somebody hasn't come and gotten Ortiz probably is a statement about how the Ravens front office people feel about, and Brian feels this way too, so I'll let a state secret out, how effed up so many other organizations are. That if you're Joe Ortiz, you don't think about interviewing with half the teams in the league because you don't want to have happen what happened to George, who's your buddy, or what happened to Phil, who's your buddy, which is you go work for the Gypsies down in Jacksonville or Cleveland or the Jets or these places where they haven't gotten it right. Now, there are places like the Bidwell family feels like they've gotten the Cardinals better. There are places where things have maybe stepped. I mean, we know what the Cowboys are, you know, other than eliminated again. you know, the Eagles have had their issues, even though they won. They're now back to, like, who's running the show. Howie Roseman is clearly the guy there. But in a lot of these organizations, I remember Ozzie Newsome saying to me, Ozzie doesn't speak to me much, right? I mean, like, other than hi, goodbye. But Ozzie's cool. And when I speak to Ozzie, Ozzie speaks back. But I don't sit and talk football with Ozzie. But I will never forget this. He and Phil, when Phil was running the Browns, so that was a small window. So you tell me whenever that was, like 5, 6, 7, 8, whenever it was, I was out in Cleveland in the press box, and Phil and Ozzie sitting next to each other, spending time together an hour before the game, hour and a half before the game. And I went over and I hadn't seen Phil, and I gave him a hug, went back when you could hug. And I see Ozzie and I'm like, how's it going? You know, what's going on? And Ozzie looks at me and says, ain't none of these jobs any good. You know that.
Yeah.
So, and I think Phil was 2-11 at the time and about to get fired. You know, it was like one, he was only there a minute, right? But I remember Ozzie, ain't none of these jobs any good. You know that. and I'm, so for Ortiz to have worked for Ozzie, Eric, with George, with Phil, seeing friends get spit out, seeing friends move, TJ McCrate being one of those guys who went to Cleveland, wound up in Arizona, wound up in Philadelphia, wound up with a ring with Joe Douglas. We swig some champagne together that night. But some of these guys that have moved around, stability for the scouts, the fact that they wear the same jersey every year when they're at colleges, when they're at the combine, it's really rare. I mean, and so when they came for Joe Ortiz, I'm like, well, that sounds right. But that's not good from a fan standpoint, because the stability part of what they do, and to your point, when they call Joe Ortiz and he takes the interview, it means he'd take the job. It means if they offer, he's going to go.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, as much as you can talk about some of these jobs being bad, and you're right. I mean, there are so many bad owners, bad organizations.
You want to be the Raiders GM? Is that what you want? You want that game, right?
But the reality is, and we talked about this. We've talked about this a lot with Orioles managers. You know, I mean, there are only 32 jobs, or in the case of managers in baseball, there's 30. So there is that case of you get to a point where you've been with an organization as long as Joe Ortiz has been with the Ravens, that you do get to a point where there gets to be a window. Not that it's now or never right now in 2022, but if you're talking 5 years from now, 10 years from now, he might miss his chance. And then it's just, you know, you're just an organizational guy, which, by the way, is okay. I mean, guys have come back. You mentioned George Kikinis, for example. I mean, guys come back when it doesn't work out. If Joe Ortiz becomes the GM of the Giants and it doesn't work out, I'm guessing the Ravens would find a place for him 3 years down the road, if we're being honest.
By the way, I was in a powwow one time with Jim Schwartz and Mike Tomlin when Schwartz was a new Lions coach. Mm-hmm. Maybe first year, maybe second year, but you know, 0-16 Schwartz, right? Like that's what that was. And Tomlin decorated coming off a second Super Bowl. And we were talking about Raheem Morris, and Raheem very close to Mike, right? And we were having a beer conversation, and I'm like, come on, you're not taking that job, right? And they both looked at me, they're like, any job. You take any job. You take any job. And that's Schwartz with the Lions. And it probably is going to be the only job he's ever going to get, right? Marvin took the Cincinnati job. That's the only job he's ever going to have. Like literally, right? Brian took the Baltimore job. It's the only job he's ever going to have. Like, so for a lot of these guys, it's not Pete Carroll where let's go run the Jets. Let's go run the Patriots. Let's go to college. Let's go. Or Chip Kelly or, you know, some of these guys. For many, many people, there's one chance. So for Joe Ortiz, you go up to the Giants and you put up a 2-15, a 3-14, and a 5-12, and you get thrown out. You come back here. If Eric can make room for you in 2026, you're still in your 50s and you want a gig. You cashed a couple million bucks. You got some money in the bank, but then you have to go back and get a gig again. And for so many of these guys, you know, Bobby DePaul calls 105.7 once a week because he can't get a gig back in the league, because once you get thrown out of the league on the scouting side, it's very, very difficult. It's not like Mike Nolan getting jobs back and forth and I'll be a coordinator here. I'll go to college. I'll move around. There's a lot of coaching jobs. Scouting, different, way different. And everybody, from my understanding, they don't like letting guys out because the secrets go with them. And that would be a Bill Belichick thing. That would probably be a Raven thing. However the Raven way is, you don't necessarily want that. And you don't want Joe Douglas bringing Andy Weidel. You don't want Eric losing Vince Newsome and three other scouts to the Giants, mm-hmm. because Joe's going to get real competitive when he got up. Remember when Eric cut off Ozzie's knees on the Haloti Ngata deal? Do you remember that on draft night?
Yeah.
I mean, it gets – and friendships get screwed up when that happens.
Yeah, but it's also the nature of the business. There is moving around. There is that wanting to move up the ladder. And, I mean, the Ravens aren't going to block Joe. I mean, it's obvious he's already interviewed, and we'll see how it plays out. But I'd be remiss. We haven't mentioned this, but Joe's an Auburn guy. Ozzie Newsome of Alabama, Auburn. I mean, that shows you how much they valued him. They'd even let an Auburn guy. Of course, I'm kidding. But, you know, he's been a very valuable member of their front office, very valuable member as far as, you know, really being the point man, especially in recent years where Eric has, you know, had more responsibilities and of course grown into the general manager role that he has today. But, you know, he's been very valuable for them. It would be a significant loss, but at the same time, to your point, what you just said, talking to some coaches, it's a life-changing job that you get a chance to become a general manager. Whether you build a Super Bowl winner with the Giants or whether you're there for 3 or 4 years and you move on or you're fired. I mean, think about it. That's a status thing too, moving forward, whether you become a media member. I mean, how many former GMs do you see? You know, Tannenbaum, you see Mike Lombardi. I mean, you see all these guys that are in the media now, Joe Banner. I mean, the guys that, okay, they're not working in the NFL anymore, but they're still talking about it. And that carries a different cachet when you can say you're a former NFL general manager, as opposed to, you know, director of player personnel or college scouting director. So, you know what? Hey, you get into this in the same way that any of us
look at what it's done for Vinny over 105.7, right?
You just talk about that, though, that is a different thing. I mean, you talk about former NFL head coaches. They can get a media gig more easily. They're probably going to get speaking engagements.
And apparently, if you're Steve Mariucci, you get to keep it forever, even if you don't watch the games.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. So I mean, you understand that part of it. But hey, when you're part of that 2020 club that we've talked about for years and years and years, as Joe Ortiz has been one of those guys, 20-somethings making $20,000, although Ozzy has said it's a little more money than that. Probably not much.
Not much.
A little
no,
more.
No, wasn't much.
A little more. And they were a little older than 20 years old. But that's your dream. You know, when you're a scout, when you're doing that, when you're on the road, and those guys work tirelessly trying to find talent and trying to do something that's going to change the organization in a positive way and change their own career path in a positive way. They're all thinking, okay, maybe not general manager, but they're at least thinking of moving up the ladder, being the director of college scouting, being an assistant GM, you know, whatever it might be, in the same way that we all have those aspirations when we have a specific career field that we want to get into. So we'll see how it plays out. And
it's good. It's good for him. He's a Delaware guy, and you know that's close family, all that. So part of it plays into that too. That when you're going to take a gig and you're going to move your family, and you've never done it, like literally, yeah. It's like me. I haven't moved in 20 years. Moving's a weird thing. Even moving to Towson's weird, and I spent most of my life in Towson. But yeah, moving's weird. And I think once you get to be our age and you've been in a place for a long time, this is a serious thing. And that's why I took it as such. When it came out, I'm like, oh, you know, at some point, you know, they're going to get an interview or go somewhere. This is an interesting spot for Joe. And it's an interesting time for the organization because I think we're all in agreement. John's closer to the end than the beginning. I've made no bones about it that Steve Bisciotti's closer to the end than the beginning. Dick Cass is certainly closer to the end than the beginning. So all of this, you know, movement that's going on, Eric's here, John's here for now, Lamar's here for now. The players are all temporary, but these are the guys that stay 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. And it's an interesting, it's going to be an interesting potential choice, assuming, you know, if he is offered the job, and I don't want to assume that that's going to happen, but clearly he's one of the guys near the top of their list of the candidates that they've interviewed. But you know, I think there has to be a perception that the Giants are asleep. No pun intended here. They're a sleeping giant right now. I mean, you're talking about what's been a model organization for the last 40 years, let's say, but clearly over the last 5 or 6, it's gone, you know, post Tom Coughlin, it's gone in a really bad direction. So how do you look at that? How do you look at the Mara family where, you know, okay, it's not what it was, but you're still talking about an organization that's won Super Bowls, has won Super Bowls in this century. So, you know, if you're Joe Ortiz, you're thinking, okay, it's not the Chiefs' job. It's not the Ravens' job. It's not the Steelers' job, but it is the Giants. You know, it's not the Detroit Lions, let's say. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. We'll see. Ultimately, you know, we'll find out what he thinks about it in terms of, does he progress and have another interview? Does, you know, do we see more of that? Or does he take his name out of the running? Or did the Giants just go in a different direction? I mean, you know, there's no guarantee there, but Joe Ortiz, you know, first like to say, like him a lot personally. I think a lot of people in the media, certainly people in the organization, you know, he's as good as they come as a person.
He's the only executive I've talked to this year because my wife and I ran into him on the street before the Rams game. Like we were out in front of the entrance and we're like, hey, Joe, what's up? Hey, how are you? Everything good? Hey, Merry Christmas. You know, it's like one of those, but I haven't been around much of it, but it's strange. He was the last guy I saw 2 weeks ago when I rolled out of there, you know.
But I think you saw some of the social media, you know, some of the national pundits and people that have gotten to know Joe a little bit over the years that, you know, I mean, his talent evaluation is considered very, very good. You know, he's someone that I think what's amazing is he didn't play college football. He was an undergraduate assistant at Auburn. He went to the head coach there and basically said, I want to work for you. And he's kind of worked his way up the ladder ever since. So it's a great story in that way. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out, but would certainly be a big loss for the Ravens. But hey, this is, you know, as you mentioned, you know, they lost Phil Savage at one point in time. They lost George Kikinis and he came back. You know, they've lost others who have left and didn't work out elsewhere, come back. You know, that's happened with coaches, happened with front office, happens with scouts. I mean, you know, it's a very transient, very not for long business as much. And that's why what the Ravens have done with their stability, you know, whether you're talking about Ozzie, whether you're talking about, you know, Steve Bisciotti, who's been owner now for the better part of two decades. I mean, there's a lot of stability, but stability doesn't last forever. And, you know, you guys retire or guys move on. So, you know, we'll see how this works out with Joe Ortiz. But personally speaking, I'm rooting for him to, you know, if he gets an opportunity, good for him. But it would certainly be a loss for the Ravens. There's no question about that.
Joe Ortiz, who, by the way, is a huge baseball fan, so I'll make my transition in saying, you know, and if it doesn't work out, he can move the left field wall back with the Giants before it's all over with.
There you go.
Luke Jones is here. He can find him at Baltimore. Luke, anywhere the internet is served out on social media, Facebook, Twitter. Certainly, we're going to be getting back out to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I had a crab cake at Costas last week, but I'll be getting back out to Fadley's and some other places. We're going to take the tour back out on the road in February once we can sort of demask and unmask a little bit and stay a little safer. Hope everybody's staying safe out there. We're going to be talking baseball, football, tons of politics, tons of election stuff. I'm getting back out on the road. Don Mueller's here. I'm moving this week. That's going to be fun. Shout out to Von Paris and John Von Paris and our friends there as well. You can find me, Nasty, at WNST.net. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and all of those places. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking football, baseball, and Baltimore Positive.